All right, Grant. Hello. What do you got for us?
Well, we're going to get into some rap diss track news here involving Kendrick Lamar, Drake, Future, J. Cole, a few other artists that have gotten involved. Artists that are no longer with us, being Tupac, but I'll get into those details. And I'm going to try to sum this up as quickly as possible, but give you guys the backstory here. So Drake released a couple months ago a song with J. Cole where there was what is quoted as a sneak diss. Now, this is from Quinn, our social media guy. He kind of brought me up to date on all the terminology here, but it was a sneak diss to Kendrick Lamar, and he took it as that to himself. So a sneak diss is where you don't say the name in particular, but you kind of imply
everybody knows
exactly who you're talking about. So that was the first one. Then Kendrick Lamar fired back with Future on another diss track, calling out Drake for a few things. Then Drake put out two tracks about 17 days ago, basically giving some more heat back and forth. Then Drake put out what was called Taylor Made. And this is the one that caught the attention of everybody, because Taylor Made, it's another diss track towards Kendrick Lamar. But in Taylor Made, he used artificial intelligence to bring in Tupac Shakur's voice and use him in the song, as well as Snoop Dogg, without their permission. Following that release, the estate of Tupac Shakur released a cease and desist order saying, if you do not take this song down, we are going to sue you. It has been taken down, rightfully so, because they did not have permission to use that. Snoop Dogg kind of laughed it off, made a couple jokes, but the Tupac estate was like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Which leads to now the newest track that came out today called Euphoria from Kendrick Lamar. Now, the little Easter egg being called Euphoria, Drake is the executive producer of the show Euphoria.
I didn't know that.
Which I didn't know either. This is, thank you, Quinn, for bringing that to my attention. But within this disc track, there is a lot of just basic, he's questioning Drake's race. I'm not going to go through all the lyrics on this whole thing, but he goes on and on and on and basically challenges Kendrick Lamar, challenges Drake to saying, if you release one more diss track on me, the game is on. And he said, quote, but don't tell no lie about me. I will tell the truth about you. And that's a quote from the whole song. I'm not going to get into lyrics of it all, but Kendrick Lamar is going after Drake because a lot of people, I guess, in the rap community feel like Drake, I don't know, is, I wouldn't want to say this term, but soft when it comes to the rap mentality, and using, you know, lyrics that necessarily they don't want him to use. I can't say those words because they're racially discriminatory words.
Yeah.
Like Kendrick Lamar specifically said, do not use this derogatory term ever again, even though Drake is technically half African American. It's getting really, really dicey.
Boy fights.
So,
guy fights.
But the Euphoria is a complete Easter egg hit at the show Euphoria because he is a executive producer on that. But the biggest thing out of that story was the Tupac estate coming out and saying, drop that song. Let's go over to the Jon Bon Jovi documentary. We've heard some reviews, right, that it's kind of lame duck, nothing really too exciting going on in the documentary, correct?
I watched part of it.
Yeah. Did you go back to it? No.
Not yet.
Yeah, it's a lot of documentary.
But finish your story first.
So there's been a lot of headlines that have come out over the last couple days, and I'm going to bring this first one here. And they're kind of, and Lori, you may have to help me through this one. It seems like they're being misinterpreted a little bit throughout this process, but this is from the page 6. Jon Bon Jovi admits he got away with murder, had 100 girls in my life in early rock star days. But if you actually read the context of that actual quote, he was talking to Michael Strahan and he said, you know, I'm a rock and roll star. I'm not a saint. You know, I'm not saying that there weren't 100 girls in my life. I'm Jon Bon Jovi. It was pretty good. So
he's talking around it.
Talking around it a little bit, right?
Yeah, talking around it. I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't either.
I'm sure that I mean, he does marry Dorothea like 4 years after that first album came out.
Yeah.
It's 89. Amazing they've stayed married as long as they have. I mean, the amount of opportunity, I'm sure that Jon Bon Jovi had to get laid.
Right.
Yes. Good and Lord. They were together when they released their first album in 84. And like you said, after they were married in the Graceland Chapel in Las Vegas. You got to love that. In 1989. Yeah. The Graceland Chapel in Las Vegas. They tied the knot as he had been a well-established sex symbol. But there's another article, this one from, I believe, the New York Post, saying Jon Bon Jovi says he'll always be the narcissist and Dorothea Hurley marriage.
Oh, in their marriage. That's in a different interview that he
this
gave.
This is from a podcast. Yes.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I'm the rock and roll guy. I'm the narcissist in the marriage.
I get it.
And she's the one that has to put up with because I'm the well-known one.
Yes, I get it.
Yeah. But then he also plays it to both sides. He goes, I'm always, like you said, I'm always going to be the lead singer in the house, but there's no platinum records hanging in my house.
And I'm John Bon Jovi'd out. He has been doing press for like 3 weeks straight.
At least. It all started with the Grammys. Oh, Music Cares.
It's just like enough.
So the last headline, and I'll let you guys figure this one out. Why John Bon Jovi's wife, Dorothea, skipped the documentary screening, after those remarks that came out. Remember, she wasn't on the red carpet with him. They're now coming out, a rep from Page Six is exclusively saying that she had COVID-19. Do you believe this or not?
I kind of do, but it's a good excuse.
It's an excellent
excuse because it was kind of going around. It's kind of an excellent excuse.
Yeah, but that's why I don't believe it.
And that's where I'm with you, Lori. I don't believe it at all. Mm-hmm. I think that there's...
She just was like, I'm sick of you. I'm going to stay at home.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with this right now, and I need a break from it. But
let's just have a break, my God. Yeah.
Speaking of having a break, Daisy Kent, with the little time we have left here, has a new man in her life.
Is he a nurse?
I don't know if he's a nurse, but they are college sweethearts. They went together to school at San Diego State. Okay. His name is Thor Herbst, and they've been, as soon as... She broke up with Joey, or she left the show, excuse me. He reached out to her, and according to a source, they've been having a lot of fun going out. They went to Puerto Vallarta. Maybe it's Vallarta, but I don't see an I in there. Okay. Mexico. And then they also went to Stagecoach together.
Oh.
They've been having a good time. So college sweetheart, they're having some fun.
All right.
Yeah.
Daisy, she didn't want to be on the show. She met her old college sweetheart.
When did she leave in that show? Was it
at the end?
Okay.
Yep, very end.
Just wanted to make sure that was. I didn't know if she was. It was a mid show departure.
It came down to Daisy and the other lady. Yep.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay. All right. Well, that's your dirt for this hour, guys. Yes.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Everybody knows.
Jeez, they study this and they study this and they study it. And every couple of years, they put out a study that reconfirms what we've already known. People have known for really all of mankind. And what am I talking about? It's called pretty privilege, Julia.
Oh, yes.
And you've experienced this for your whole life. If you're attractive, a range of social and professional and personal advantages will come your way based 100% on how you look.
Okay.
This is true at the beginning of time, the middle of time, at the end of time.
It's how you're treated. I believe it.
It just 100%. Is. They study it on a pretty regular basis. Yeah. And every time they're like, yep, pretty privilege still in existence.
So give us an example of what they studied.
Sometimes they look at it from a job point of view. Sometimes they look at if you're attractive, are you considered more trustworthy? They'll look at it all kinds of different ways. And no matter what, if somebody is considered attractive, has a universal attractiveness.
Yes.
If you show people that are being asked, no matter what positive attribute you're asking, people will say if that person is good looking. Yes, they look trustworthy. Yes, they look smart. Yes, I
wow. It's that easy.
It's that easy.
That's why you have a horseshoe.
You got that. But I remember one time I hired somebody based totally.
I know you did.
On the looks and her pedigree.
Cousin was.
And who her cousin was.
Her cousin was Harry Connick Jr.
Yep. Her looks, and she went to Tulane.
I did the same once.
And I judged her to be like way smarter than she was. And it was one of the worst hires I ever made. So,
beyond.
You know, you'll get.
I did one of those too.
Yeah.
Because it was just quick and
And it's also why, like, sometimes, like a Ted Bundy, who was considered attractive.
Oh. No one would believe that he was a serial killer because he was so good looking.
Yes.
He must have come from a good genes and a good family with good values.
Great point.
100%.
It's not a true thing, but the perception that is out there is you just get a privilege.
Yeah.
Another way of being privileged is being good looking.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know that.
Guilty for falling for it, for sure.
For sure.
I am.
Now, this news will not surprise Italians anywhere or my father. bless his heart up in heaven, because my dad, like the Italians, believe there is no greater food created on earth than a tomato. And we have found out today that scientists have discovered that tomatoes have, when they grow, they have their own parallel universe.
Or that they talk to each other. Yeah. What is the, how would they even, how
they would studied they even feel the it? Tomato
Great
roots
question.
And they found out what's going underneath the ground as far as how they're, the compounds, the fuzzy hair that grows on the top of a tomato is fuzzy underneath. So they said that is a parallel universe is happening. And I thought, well, according to many people, it is the perfect food. And it is a fruit.
It's a fruit.
Not a vegetable.
It is.
However, in 1934, Julia, you will want to know this. Is that there was a law that was passed.
What?
It's Hedden 149 U.S. versus 304. It was 1893. The Supreme Court of the United States unanimously ruled that tomatoes should be classified as vegetables rather than fruits for the purposes of tariffs.
Oh.
Oh, what year was this done?
1893.
Then why didn't it go through?
It did go through.
They wanted it.
So that is why it is a trick question. Tomatoes are imported, it gets the vegetable checkoff, but it is considered a fruit. Why? Because it's a flowering plant. That's what makes a fruit. If there's a flower.
Said your dad's a big tomato guy.
Oh, my dad loves it. He could live on tomato sandwiches for the rest of his life.
My dad too. I'm just curious. Was he ever a salt or sugar guy on the
salt? Salt. Yeah. He would salt a tomato,
and eat
a green one, and eat it like an
apple. Yeah, I know exactly.
He would
what
be
you're
like, "There's
about.
Nothing greater in the world. As long as you have tomato plants, you can live." I'm like, "What are you Italian?"
I'm going to be honest though, a fresh tomato off a tomato
garden.
Plant
yes.
is to die for.
Right out of the
it
garden.
It's to die for.
And why is it to die for? It's having a parallel universe. What's happening on the top of the tomato is happening under the ground. That is a wild thought.
That is wild.
Okay. Here's a study of What is techno-optimism? Can either of you?
Well, that you're just optimistic about new technologies,
I would go
I guess.
With that.
I don't know.
That seems like that would be
it
what
would
it would
be.
Mean. But what it means, techno-optimism is debunking the belief that technology can fix everything.
Oh,
that
I
there
like
is
that.
Too much reliance on the fact that. People think that, techno-optimism is good, but it doesn't fix everything. And the term techno-optimism appeared after World War II.
Oh, interesting.
They started throwing it around way back when.
After the bomb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Techno-optimism. It's good if you had been investing in Google or something, if you'd been techno-optimistic or Facebook. That would have been a real good techno-optimism.
Apple computers.
Apple.
Microsoft.
Yeah, all that. If you'd been techno-optimistic, you'd be rich right now.
I wish I techno-knew Amazon.
Right. Well said.
I really do. It would have been nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would have been nice.
Okay. Here's a study of Dove. Okay. They've done a study. We've all know this was just published in Science Advances, and they analyze. I bring it to you because it's one of your favorite subjects, litter studies.
Oh,
okay.
Did you? I just want you to know I've litter had restraint. Studies, I've had restraint talking about garbage on the side of the road.
Yeah, but anyway, this study was published in Science Advances. They analyzed data from 1,500 litter studies. Okay. Your favorite.
Uh-huh.
In 84 countries.
Okay.
Between 2018 and 2022. And what they found out, who is driving the worldwide plastic crisis?
Kids in the boat in Miami that threw the two bags of beer cans That's over terrible. The ship no, this no, no. weekend.
But who do you that think the terrible. Top plastic?
Americans.
Americans.
No. They were brand auditing, if you will, as they were picking
Coca-Cola,
up trash.
Coca-Cola, probably, whoever makes pop. All Coke the plastics.
And Pepsi.
Yes,
Coke
I
and
believe
Pepsi.
That.
Yeah.
I believe that. Can I have just a little detour here for a quick second? You know your contact lens cases?
Yeah.
And even the foil that comes off the top, you can recycle that.
Oh, yeah. That little, I mean, the juice
but
inside
there's
there?
A place you can take it to an eye doctor. I'm going to come with that tomorrow at random.
Love that.
Big tease. Heavy tease.
No one will be able to sleep tonight.
No, but I really do have a really good random for tomorrow that I couldn't do today because I wasn't ready. Okay, back to you, Ben.
But it's, you know, Coca-Cola, Pepsi.
Totally.
Nestle. Yeah, that makes sense. Danone and Altria.
Well, you think of the compact carrots.
They're 25% of the world's plastic garbage.
They should be able, they have to stop. I mean, it's crazy how much plastic, the plastics.
I told Casey, I was like, add a water bottle to your packing list for New Orleans because they've got the water station.
They
I do like that.
I only bring, I hate
and
buying
more
water
and more
bottles.
I see that
They're
at the
everywhere.
Airport.
They're
and
all, yes.
I always, I never see... I hardly ever see anyone not have a water bottle.
I agree. It's something. It's just respect for your land and your earth
are
and your
conscientious
people.
Yeah, about it. And hotels now, most nice hotels are giving guests when they check in
a nice water bottle.
A nice water bottle.
That's okay.
At the resort.
I'm sorry. What 5/17 star? I haven't stayed at these yet. Yeah. So they just give you that $30.
Westin, Fairmont, Ritz-Carlton.
I forgot this. Oh, at the hair salon this morning, I drove back for it. I can't stand not having my water bottle.
It's fun to have the water bottle. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's all I got.
Love it.
All right.
Those were very good, Lori.
I'll get to your feet can tell you if you're in bad shape.
Oh, but we can't talk about feet.
Day. That's right.
That's it's for senior boring. Citizens. It's so boring. We can't do it. We'll be back.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, people, we are wrapping up today. And there was even a study about why Tuesdays are the most productive day. It was a brand new one, Lori, but we've kind of known that forever.
A long time.
But I didn't even get to it because I thought I'd bore you.
It's a duh. It's a duh. We've known it. They study it over and over.
They do.
For whatever reason, Tuesday is
the day you're
the
ready
day
to
you bang it out and get crap done.
Get it done. All
I
right.
I almost said another word. Okay, well, the Bravo knows that because they released a trailer today of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, which is coming back on Sunday night. All the ladies' taglines. And the first one's Melissa Gorga. Then we hear Dolores.
Can I tell you what hers is going to be?
Well, no, we're going to hear it. Then Danielle, then Margaret, then Rachel, then Jennifer. And the worst for last is Teresa. When she takes her tagline, I can't wait for you to hear it. Let's roll it.
Right, I have the hiccups though.
It's hard not to burn bridges.
Look at that.
when you're on fire.
Melissa Gorga.
I'm a girl from Patterson.
Hello.
Playing Switzerland, dating an Irishman.
That's cute.
I'm bougie, unbothered, and above your drama.
Lazy.
Well, you're taking cheap shots. I'm taking screenshots. Mm.
If you don't have my back,
no!
At least have a backbone. Friends are like handbags.
Bingo!
The fake ones are all too easy to spot.
That's good.
You can try to tear me down, but this tree just keeps on growing.
Okay.
What kind of a tree is she? That's Teresa. You can try to tear me down, but this tree keeps on growing. Is
Teresa
she like
wouldn't be able to explain
tree?
That metaphor to anybody who ever wrote that for her. Brittany brought up to me that Melissa Gorga's husband and Teresa's brother is always preaching trees to her.
Oh.
And so she's like, does Teresa even know that maybe she's getting punked by the writers? Because they assistance.
That's really funny.
He's always talking about the family is like a tree, you know, the tree trunk and the branches, and we all got it. And I'm like, you can try to tear me down, but this tree just keeps on growing. I have a feeling Teresa is going to drive me nuts this year because she and Melissa are on the outs. She starts all the trouble.
But I'm sorry, they've been on the outs for years. I mean,
true.
I would be surprised.
That's true.
This is why the Housewife franchise is hard for me, and now I'm remembering.
Yeah, Beverly or New Jersey, they fight a lot. There's a lot of drama, which is why a lot of people like it.
I kind of miss the drama, but I also
try to check Sunday night. Just check in.
Just
see what happens.
I'm going to try. Because I was all excited because I'm missing House. I take Salt Lake City back and redo last year
in
a heartbeat.
They're filming.
I know they are. But I miss that. I know we're going to miss her. The one.
And Kyle Richards got an agent at CAA.
She
did not have an agent, or she had like somebody, but not, you know, not somebody from CAA.
That's a big deal.
She would like to do more acting.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't she in something?
Well, Halloween.
Yeah.
She reprised her role in it. Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends. Maybe this will help her produce more things that she wanted to do. So,
yes.
Anyway. That's what I know.
All right, that's what you know. Well, I found this unfortunate because it's almost looked like it could be good, but the series premiere of The Veil on FX, the Elizabeth Moss FX and Hulu tonight. It's a spy thriller starring Elizabeth Moss as an undercover M16 operative trying to stop a terrorist attack after rescuing an asset from a refugee camp.
It's Salt.
By the way.
It's Salt.
By
it's
the way.
Angelina by Jolie's the way. Wait, character. Wait, wait. That movie.
Okay, but it's only got 30%, 35% by critics. But you never know because we've had this. But Lori, I watched Anna last night. Jeff and I watched. That is so good.
Isn't that a good movie?
Oh, with Helen Mirren. It is so good. Remember Lori told us about it yesterday?
Yeah, I had to clean my mind from watching that arty farty Poor Things.
It's Anna is a good movie.
Yeah.
Jeff and I both liked it.
Yeah.
Jeff might have to watch the ending again.
Yeah.
His eyelids were heavy.
Like me, my eyelids were heavy last night, so I have to give you support on Anyone But You or Anything But You. Anyone But You, Sydney Sweeney, Glenn Powell. Absolutely gorgeous scenery, gorgeous people. No plot. I fell asleep twice.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I told you.
You were right.
But
I
ran into tennis people who liked it.
Yeah.
It's
maybe it depends on your mood.
I think, if you're tired, like, because I fell sound asleep, I'm like, give me some juice here.
I needed something.
You know, you need a little more than Sydney Sweeney's breasts.
That was the one thing that the critics seemed to be in agreement. They were like, where's the chemistry between
these two? I told you that, and you kept saying, oh, it's there,
it was there.
It's got to be there. Well, why they faked it on the press.
But Sydney Sweeney's eyes are so sad. They droop. She's got, like... Who's the dog with the droopy eyes? Is that a Sharpay? Is it a...
Sharpays have droopy eyes.
Just the droopiest eyes at the corner. You know, when people's mouths sag at the corner? She's a young woman
with
saggy eyes.
There's a whole TikTok on her eyes.
They're so sad.
Yeah.
She's not my favorite. She had a couple lines, but
Glenn Powell also, who I love and adore as an actor, he didn't give me Glenn. Like, he gave me this other,
hate
to say it, weaker version of Glenn. I'm like, come on, man. I knew you in Top Gun. I want to see.
It was boring.
I want those abs to flex and get a little.
But we did see the big, deep triangle on the man.
But The Veil is basically the plot of.
And I love Salt.
Of Salt with Angelina Jolie.
So we have to, if you want to, All right. Well, someone check it out and tell us tomorrow. Someone check us out and call us tomorrow because we could use, we can't watch everything. I'd like some help from the audience.
Yeah.
That's what we're calling. 31 years ago today in 1993, Monica Seles was stabbed in the back with a boning knife during a tennis match in Hamburg, Germany.
What year was this?
1993. The attacker was an obsessed fan of Steffi Graf, who Monica recently beat at the Australian Open. Seles did not play professional tennis again for 3 years.
Yeah.
So I'm going to update you what is going on in the tennis place in Madrid. There is a big difference when you have a better broadcaster doing the broadcast than the dead weight that is in Madrid right now broadcasting these tennis matches.
It's not McEnroe.
No, and but usually I like Jim Courier. It's just dead.
Oh.
But there was a big upset of somebody last night, very late. My Rafi. I want him to pull through today. I'm not sure.
Can I just tell you, speaking of the Monica Seles, so the year that that happened, a friend of mine who's very funny and always likes to do a timely Halloween costume, he dressed in a tennis outfit
with a
bandana and a knife sticking out of her shoulder blade. And her boyfriend went as saw whoever would have been a guy. He had kind of a curly wig and a headband on, and everybody knew him.
That's funny.
Everything.
That's funny. Yeah. That's a timely one. Yeah.
It was enough months had gone by because I think it was happening in the spring. But she's like, you're not going to believe it. I'm going to be Monica Seles with a knife. I'm like, what? And then I was like, oh, my God, you're probably going to win all the contests.
Why didn't I think of that? That's the next line coming up. No, that was a terrible thing that happened to her.
Oh, my gosh. I wouldn't have been able to play either. You'd be a nervous wreck every time you got on the court.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for hanging out with us today. We'll be back tomorrow.
I'm John Corbett, and I love Lori and Julia.
Job done. Off you go.